Welcome back to A Year of War and Peace, the podcast where we go from War and Peace Zero to War and Peace Hero in 1 year flat. We are up to Book 8, Chapter 19. From the day his wife arrived in Moscow, Pierre had been intending to go away somewhere so as not to be near her. Soon after the Rostovs came to Moscow, the effect Natasha had on him made him hasten to carry out his intention. He went to Tver to see Joseph Alexievich's widow, and had long since promised to hand over to him some papers of her deceased husband's. When he returned to Moscow, Pierre was handed a letter from Marya Dmitrievna, asking him to come and see her on a matter of great importance relating to Andrew Bolkonsky and his betrothed. Pierre had been avoiding Natasha because it seemed to him that his feeling for her was stronger than a married man's should be for his friend's fiancée. Yet some fate constantly threw them together. "What can have happened? And what can they want with me?" thought he, as he dressed to go to Marya Dmitrievna's. "If only Prince Andrew would hurry up and come and marry her," thought he, on his way to the house. On the Tverskoy Boulevard, a familiar voice called to him. "Pierre, been back long?" someone shouted. Pierre raised his head. In a sledge drawn by two grey trotting horses that were bespattering the dashboard with snow, Anatole and his constant companion Makarin dashed past. Anatole was sitting upright in the classic pose of military dandies, the lower part of his face hidden by his beaver collar, and his head slightly bent. His face was fresh and rosy, his white-plumed hat tilted to one side, disclosed his curled and pomaded hair besprinkled with powdery snow. "Yes, indeed, that's a true sage," thought Pierre. "He sees nothing beyond the pleasure of the moment, nothing troubles him, and so he is always cheerful, satisfied, and serene. What I wouldn't give to be like him," he thought enviously. In Marya Dmitrievna's anteroom, the footman, who helped him off with his fur coat, said that the mistress asked him to come to her bedroom. When he opened the ballroom door, Pierre saw Natasha sitting at the window with a thin, pale, and spiteful face. She glanced round at him, frowned, and left the room with an expression of cold dignity. "What has happened?" asked Pierre, entering Marya Dmitrievna's room. "Fine doings," answered Marya Dmitrievna. "For 58 years I have lived in this world and never known anything so disgraceful." And having put him on his honour not to repeat anything she told him, Marya Dmitrievna informed him that Natasha had refused Prince Andrew without her parents' knowledge, and that the cause of this was Anatole Kuragin, into whose society Pierre's wife had thrown her, and with whom Natasha had tried to elope during her father's absence in order to be married secretly. Pierre raised his shoulders and listened open-mouthed to what was told him, scarcely able to believe his own ears. That Prince Andrew's deeply loved affianced wife, that same Natasha Rostova who used to be so charming, should give up Bolkonsky for that fool Anatole, who was already secretly married, as Pierre knew, and should be so in love with him as to agree to run away with him, was something Pierre could not conceive and could not imagine. He could not reconcile the charming impression he had of Natasha, whom he had known from a child, with this new conception of her baseness, folly, and cruelty. He thought of his wife. "They are all alike," he said to himself, reflecting that he was not the only man unfortunate enough to be tied to a bad woman. But still he pitied Prince Andrew to the point of tears and sympathized with his wounded pride. And the more he pitied his friend, the more did he think with contempt and even with disgust of that Natasha, who had just passed him in the ballroom with such a look of cold dignity. He did not know that Natasha's soul was overflowing with despair, shame, and humiliation, and it was not her fault that her face happened to assume an expression of calm dignity and severity. But how get married? Said Pierre, in answer to Maya Dmitrievna. He could not marry. He is married.
Things get worse from hour to hour, ejaculated Maya Dmitrievna. A nice youth. What a scoundrel. And she's expecting him yesterday. She must be told. Then, at least, she won't go on expecting him.
After hearing the details of Anatole's marriage from Pierre and giving vent to her anger against Anatole in words of abuse, Maya Dmitrievna told Pierre why she had sent for him. She was afraid that the Count, or Bolkonski, who might arrive at any moment, if they knew of this affair, which she hoped to hide from them, might challenge Anatole to a duel, and she therefore asked Pierre to tell his brother-in-law, in her name, to leave Moscow, and not dare to let her set eyes on him again. Pierre, only now realizing the danger to the old Count, Nicholas and Prince Andrew, promised to do as she wished. Having briefly and exactly explained her wishes to him, she let him go to the drawing-room. "Mind, the Count knows nothing. Behave as if you know nothing either," she said, "and I'll go and tell her it is no use expecting him. And stay to dinner if you care to," she called after Pierre. Pierre met the old Count, who seemed nervous and upset. That morning Natasha had told him that she had rejected Bolkonski.
"Troubles, troubles, my dear fellow," he said to Pierre. "What troubles one has with these girls without their mother. I do so regret having come here. I will be frank with you. Have you heard she has broken off her engagement without consulting anybody?"
"It's true, this engagement never was much to my liking. Of course, he is an excellent man, but still, with his father's disapproval, they wouldn't have been happy, and Natasha won't lack suitors. Still, it has been going on so long, and to take such a step without father's or mother's consent, and now she's ill, and God knows what. It's hard, Count, hard to manage daughters in their mother's absence." Pierre saw that the Count was much upset, and tried to change the subject, but the Count returned to his troubles. Sonia entered the room with an agitated face.
"Natasha is not quite well. She's in her room and would like to see you. Maya Dmitrievna is with her, and she too asks you to come."
"Yes, you are a great friend, Bolkonski. No doubt she wants to send him a message," said the Count. Oh dear, how happy it all was. And clutching the spare grey locks on his temple, the Count left the room. When Maya Dmitrievna told Natasha that Anatole was married, Natasha did not wish to believe it and insisted on having it confirmed by Pierre himself. Sonia told Pierre this as she led him along the corridor to Natasha's room. Natasha, pale and stern, was sitting beside Maya Dmitrievna, and her eyes, glittering feverishly, met Pierre with a questioning look the moment he entered. She did not smile or nod, but only gazed fixedly at him, and her look asked only one thing. Was he a friend, or, like the others, an enemy in regard to Anatole? As for himself, Pierre evidently did not exist for her.
"He knows all about it," said Maya Dmitrievna, pointing to Pierre and addressing Natasha. "Let him tell you whether I have told you the truth."
Natasha looked from one to the other, as a hunted and wounded animal looks at the approaching dogs and sportsmen.
Natalia Ilinichna, Pierre began, dropping his eyes with a feeling of pity for her and loathing for the thing he had to do. "Whether it is true or not should make no difference to you, because..."
"Then it is not true that he's married."
"Yes, it is true."
"Has he been married long?" she asked, "on your honour?"
Pierre gave his word of honour.
"Is he still here?" she asked quickly.
"Yes, I have just seen him."
She was evidently unable to speak, and made a sign with her hands that they should leave her alone.
All right, there we have it, another chapter down. And,
wow. What happened there? At the start of that chapter, we were told that Pierre had feelings for Natasha that he thought were inappropriate, considering that he was the fiancé of his best friend.
For me, that was the first any confirmation in the book that Pierre is romantically interested in Natasha, although soon after that in the chapter, it was mentioned that he kind of despised her and saw the same traits as he did in his wife, in Natasha, because of what he's done, what she's done to Andre. So at the start of the chapter, I was like, well, look at that. Pierre's got it for Natasha. We've got like a love cube going on here. It's no longer a love triangle. But then shortly after that, it said that he doesn't like her. So I don't know where that's left me, my opinion on that, but I was still surprised to read that bit. Chad Valster said, personally, I did like Natasha's character a lot. If you did like her character too, how, if at all, has your opinion of Natasha changed after recent events? I'm much like Pierre. I really liked Natasha. She was one of my favourite characters, and I liked how charming she was. But now, the more she acts out this back and forth with these different men, and her emotions are getting the better of her, I'm liking her less and less. Colby X said, I thought Natasha to be childish but likable as a character before. She had an innocence and strength. Tolstoy wrecked all that with her impulsive, blind stupidity. I got nothing for her now, and I really pity Prince Andre for being wrapped up with her now. Chad Valster also said, Pierre crosses paths with Anatole while going to Maya Dmitrievna. He notices with envy how Anatole sees nothing beyond the present moment of pleasure. Do you think that's something to want, or do you think Anatole shouldn't feel happy if you take the failed elopement into account? I think what Pierre saw was just Anatole attempting to be cheerful, but probably wasn't so much cheerful. He was on his way back from his failed attempt to extract Natasha from her, or from Maya Dmitrievna's house. But in terms of something, is that the attitude that I want, to always feel happy? You know, sometimes I've got one friend who's very happy-go-lucky, and he always seems to be very cheerful. And sometimes I think, I wish life was like that for me. So, in a way, yeah, I did find that quite relatable. Chatterwalster also asked, at the end of the chapter, Natasha signs that Pierre and Maya should leave her after getting to know that Anatole is still nearby. Is Natasha going to run after Anatole? Did you think it was wrong of Pierre to say that Anatole is still nearby? Cobby X replied, I don't know what Natasha will do now. I think she won't be able to get to Anatole. So maybe she can off herself now. That would feel very Russian lit. Well, I guess I'm not that familiar with Russian lit. I didn't think that she was going to off herself. I thought that Pierre telling her that Anatole is married would have made her change her mind about the whole thing and feel pretty embarrassed and ashamed and maybe run back to Andre. Who knows what's going to happen there. Anyway, I feel like this was one of those chapters that sort of blew everything open a little bit. We learned a lot, so I'm looking forward to the next one. And on that note, that's going to do us for today's episode. Thanks very much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.